looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life challenges. And we are just, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm already started it, but we're jumping into the beginning of week two of the entire month of self-love. Oh, just, you know what? It's been such a journey already. We've only had, well, we had our musical chair shows to kick us off. We talked about self-love. Then we had our two authors after. We had two winners, by the way. Remember, everybody listening, if you post or comment or let us know that you're listening, that you something inspired you, motivated you, you connected with something, let us know because you get to be entered into a draw to win a book. Now, today, just a little bit not a switch. We're not switching. We're still on what self-love got to do with it, but today's guest, co-author, is actually from a different book, but it's from the same publisher. So Heather Andrews still is the publisher of this book. But what a cool name this book is. It's called The Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss. I love that. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. But just before we jump into it, today's theme is all about receiving. I love that. Receiving. And actually, that's a funny word for me because I used to think of, you know, my mom always saying to me when I was growing up, well, that was your receiving blanket. You know, you know, when you get baptized and all these things. So there's this moment, this feeling of comfort whenever I hear the word receive. But so many of us struggle and actually reject receiving. So we've got a pretty incredible author, guest, everything here today. And I want to tell you about her. Her name is Jenna, but let's tell you about her first and then so you go, wow, she does all that. And then we can jump into the show of receiving. So Jenna has a degree in, ready for this, guys, criminal justice. Like, I can't even imagine what she had to learn and go through. So, so you have a degree in criminal justice and an education in psychology. She spent 6 years as a corporate paralegal. And in 2015, Jenna entered the wellness space as a certified personal trainer, CrossFit Level 1 trainer, and fitness nutrition specialist. Oh, I love that. Her first business venture was centered around wellness in the offline and online space. And it was this industry that brought her home from corporate in 2016 to care for her newborn child. Let's talk about your little babies too. Jenna then had a shift of passion and transitioned to business consulting for wellness professionals. Jenna is the CEO and founder of J. Corelli Consulting. I love that name, which is a consulting agency that provides high-level business strategy and full-service digital marketing services to her clients. This is the important part right here that I'm so interested about. Jenna's mission is to have all people living solely within their fascinations at all times and learning to eliminate, automate, or delegate frustrations and tolerations in both personal and professional life. Jenna, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and I was like dancing to that intro too. So I'm all fired up.
You know, it is fun. And it just moves us, and it just goes to show you here, oh my gosh, like, I almost don't know where to start, but I know where I'm going to start. What you do is so attractive to me because I myself, an entrepreneur, businesswoman, doing things, growing her business, and I love myself, but we're always working on it and doing more. And when you talk about being a mom and I'm a cat mom and all that stuff, and I just think, you know what? There are so many barriers to people doing just those exact three things, eliminating, automating, and delegating the frustrations and tolerations in both professional and personal life. So let's start off with asking you, what brought you there? Because I heard about, you know, being paralegal, and then we go into wellness, and then we go into, wait, consulting. So walk us through a little bit of your journey, where that all started and came from.
Absolutely. So I kind of envision this like a timeline. And at the very start of my journey, I was doing as society told me to do. you know, go to high school, go to college, get a degree, and get a job in the area where your degree was in, and that's your path. And that's mm-hmm. what you do for the rest of your life. But at some point in, you know, I was spending 6 years as a paralegal, about 3 years in, I realized that I had a passion that wasn't in line with the work that I was doing. So I had to figure out how to make it work and align and really align my passion with my core values and beliefs in life in general. And that is so, so difficult for anybody to do. And from that point where you realize you have a passion to the point where you take action on that passion, sometimes people never even go from point A to point B in that sense, right? So many of us will stay in our 9-to-5 job that we hate and never transition into that alignment of our passion. So there's this time frame there that could be really quick or really long and never actually happen for a lot of us. And that's where boundaries and breakthroughs come into play. And I talk a lot about needing both of those in your business, but also in your personal life. So for me, for 3 years, I knew I had this passion, but I didn't think it would ever become a reality for me. And I would just talk about it. You know, I'd be all talk and no action. And then one day I sat down with my husband and we said, okay, here's a 5-year plan. In 5 years, you're going to leave your 9-to-5. You're going to follow your passion. We have 5 years to figure out how it's going to happen, but it'll happen. And the next week, we found out we were pregnant with my daughter. So our 5-year plan was condensed to a 9-month plan. And it's just incredible how that breakthrough for me happened, because when I realized that the risk of not being home with my daughter when she was born was greater than the reward of actually being home with my daughter was big enough for me, I made that passion happen in 9 months, whereas I didn't think I'd be able to do it in less than 5 years. So it's incredible how understanding and realizing those breakthroughs that you're going through actually push you to that next level in your life or business or whatever the circumstance may be.
That is actually, and that's a big one right now. So you just, that was a big chunk, which I'm so glad, because now we get to dissect all of that. But I want to go back to that thing saying, first of all, now we've all heard that, okay, you did do this. What is shocking is that time frame where you originally went, okay, we got 5 years. We'll call that our comfortable set point. We know we have time. We can figure this out. Well, whatever, we'll show up. If we don't do it right away, at least there's something there. But at least 5 years. So first of all, if I want something 5 years, it sounds like so long, like I'd be chomping at the bit anyways. But then hearing somebody saying, okay, now you got 9 months, and even though you and in that 9 months you're going to be growing a baby, you know, building a child, and so it's going to be taking some resources there. So the people who, I love what you said, point A is the awareness of the passion, and then point B is taking action on it. And you said most people don't ever get to that step. I want to sit there for a minute, because that's where a lot of people are. They know they hate their job, their life, their what's going on, what they're doing. But they go, but I really love that. I love making candles. I don't know. It could be anything, right? And what is it, their thoughts? They suddenly are aware that they're happy doing this thing. What comes to mind? What stops them?
For me, society tells you it's a side hustle. Society told me it was a dream. In the back of my mind, I care so, so deeply about what other people think of me, and I want to be that happy person and that people can come to, and I don't want to fail at anything if I put my mind to it. So for me, what was holding me back was fear of failure, fear of judgment. What would everybody think? You know, I grew up in this surrounded by this society of people who went to college, got a degree, and became doctors or lawyers, you know, and here I am, I'm just going to quit my corporate job and say I'm starting a job in the wellness space, and I'm going to be in business for myself. And it's just such a scary leap to even get yourself to say out loud. Like, you might think this in our heads, but to actually tell somebody, this is what I'm actually going to do. I'm moving forward with this. That's a huge leap, and it's hard and it's scary.
So do you think people should tell others of their dreams?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And one of the mindset tips that I always tell people is, you know, if you don't have somebody to speak to, to vocalize these dreams and these aspirations that you have, then you need to write, or you need to journal. You need to tell the paper with a pen, aww, like a physical action of writing, right? Because even just typing, I don't think is as deep and doesn't really sit with you as well as physically taking the time to write this out. So keeping a journal or keeping a writing for 10 minutes every single day about these aspirations that you have really goes a long way, and it helps you feel more alive and not really trapped or bottled in your own body or your own society.
Well, getting out is part of creation. I love that you just said that. I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. Tell the paper with a pen.
Too many people are typing so much these days, and I don't think it has the same effect.
No. Oh, my gosh. I actually have so many journals, and I actually should just invest in a giant thing for paper. I have notepads and notebooks and papers, and I even sometimes I'll kind of freak out going, I can't find paper, and I'll grab a paper towel or a Kleenex or a napkin and start writing on it.
Yeah, and I mean, so many of us aren't actually ready to share these thoughts or these words with another human being or an audience of any sort. So just to write them down and reread them yourself and just continue, you know, transferring ownership of these inner thoughts to yourself over and over again, it will build you that confidence that you need to tell the world that it's actually something you're taking action on now.
You just said something absolutely brilliant, and I'm jumping to this, and I wasn't going to, but now I'm totally doing it. You just said transferring ownership of these thoughts. Okay, everybody, mm-hmm. just really hear this, and I'll tell you why. Because why I'm so excited to talk to you today, because we're going to really dive deep here, is I know I need to automate and delegate and, you know, do all those things to certain parts of my business. But are you ready for this? I asked myself, what would be the reason why somebody doesn't? What would be some blockages or fears or all these things that come up? And do you know what? That is so cool that you said that, because you know what? Transferring ownership, that's what automation means to me. I didn't even know that until you said it. Like,
yeah. Internally, we know what we have that's not fully free. We know what needs to be done internally, but have we ever actually transfer those thoughts from our head to a piece of paper or to another person? It's therapeutic, and that it's our word. Oh, I was gonna say it's our word, but our words are seething, but it's releasing.
Right?
Releasing those things.
Yes. Yeah, and you know what, too? And sometimes, too, you do need to vocalize it, because I know even, like, my dad is amazing for, well, just everything. He's perfect. But no, when I do talk to him, I'm in a safe place. So I could say anything. I literally could say I would love to collect purple elephants. Like, and he would say, well, that's interesting. Do you have a passion about that? How would you go about doing that? Like, you know, and so, and then as you work out these things, because you know what, we don't have all the, we're not supposed to. If everybody right now has a dream, you're not supposed to, you don't even know how it's going to happen, because you have a vision and it certainly doesn't end up that way. Let me ask you yours. We talked about in your bio how the first business was this, but then there's another business. So you literally, you're not in the same business in that 5-year plan that you originally did.
No.
It's not the same business at all.
No.
But no. So what was the first one that you started off with?
So I went through a period of transition where I felt like a fraud, because I had been teaching seminars to wellness. So people who are into fitness, I was teaching nutrition. I was talking about macronutrients and breaking them down and how to get a good hold or handle on your health and wellness. And I was hosting live seminars, and then I went in and did teacher and service trainings and large corporation trainings. And that was my job until I had my daughter, and I was no longer really taking care of myself. I was really just focused on keeping a child alive at the time that I wasn't spending time on myself. So self-care was kind of out of the picture. And I was just struggling to help others find a balance between fitness and wellness when I couldn't do it myself. So I felt like a fraud, and I couldn't continue on with this job. And I felt like a failure. I went through all these transitional periods. So I had to shift, and I had people asking me how I had built up my business. So I shifted into business consulting for the wellness industry. So kind of came full circle, because I'm now coaching like my previous self in a sense, and I know all about that industry, so it makes it really easy for me. But I felt like a fraud, and I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way and kind of loses passion, and passion shifts and industry shifts. And I want people to know it's okay. You know, it's okay to feel that way.
That is so true. And I love that, because as we can recognize that it's not, when our passion shifts, it's not failing. And I think that's a really bold statement I like to make. So like everybody right now, you're like, one of my, used to hate it. Now I actually just welcome it and love it because I'm more mature now and have experience. But people used to come up to me and say, oh, so what are you doing now, Lisa? What business are you in now? I'm like, I'm in the same business. It's wellness. I'm just doing a different thing. Because they wanted me. I don't know if maybe they were just like curious, like, oh, gosh, you've always got some. But I did probably feel like a little bit inside going, gosh, did they think I failed? And that's why I'm doing this, because I just have, you know, I'm just shiny object syndrome. So I think that's the important thing, is to realize that passions shift and you are not failing. And so would you say that you have that now, that you believe that your passion may even now shift?
Oh, my passion's always shifting. So I was, you know, primarily wellness, and then I became business consulting for wellness. And my daughter just turned 2, and I'm actually really getting back into the research of nutrition and fitness. And I'm enjoying having those conversations again. When I started 2.5 years ago or so, I hated public speaking. I did not want to be in front of anybody. And now I'm shifting. I'm hosting my first live event in February. So, like, these shifts just continue to happen.
You know what? I love that. And we're going to sneak away into commercials in about 30 seconds. But you know what? That is huge. Like, something that everybody listening, if there's something you didn't even ever think you do, maybe don't get afraid here, but you may end up doing it because you really want to. Sometimes that just happens. So we'll pop off to commercial. But then when we return, let's talk about these shifts in our passions and how we can just add that self-love to get through and receive.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Right, Lisa Berry here, Light on Living. We have Jenna Corelli, and Jenna is just a fascinating little firecracker to me. And she is all about, I love the word that she chose as a theme for today's show. The theme, the word is receiving. And it's funny, last summer, actually, I was over at one of my girlfriend's house, and she gave me this book. It was about how to love yourself and receive. And little did I know that I'd be even doing shows on this one right here. But Jenna, I have a question for you about receiving. If we are, let's say we now have an awareness, love this, really want to do this, but I'm in the middle of all this, and we get really caught up and we don't delegate, don't automate, we don't decipher and drop and all those kind of things, Are we receiving to our potential? Or can we even receive if we're just running around so busy all the time?
A lot of times we can't. We get so caught up in this downward spiral. And for me, it felt more like just digging a hole and shoving myself deeper and deeper in it, because I would wake up and my day-to-day would be just getting by or just getting the things done on my to-do list that absolutely need to get done. But there would be no space for creativity, no space for myself or my family or loved ones who actually needed me the most. So I wasn't filling my own cup up, which means those who needed love from me weren't receiving my love because I had none left to give.
Right. And so what is that, how you got into, right now, I'm trying to think of all the people out there who are experiencing that right now. They're going, okay, my partner's asking to spend more time with me. My children want more time, my eldest and this and that. And they're just getting through the day today. But how do they even see that light that there could be? How could life be easier? How do they even get to that point? They have to come to your live event.
Right, yeah, come to my live event in Tampa. No, I really believe that there's something that happens. There's an event in your life that really kind of, it sets that light bulb off for you. And you again, it's receiving. You need to be open to listening to a podcast or reading blogs or reading books and understand, like, it comes to you in the text or it comes to you in an audio of somebody else actually saying that they've struggled with this and they've overcome this. And then you resonate with that and you're like, oh my gosh, like, that's what I've been feeling inside. And, you know, I've been bottling up these emotions inside and I didn't even know that it had a name, right?
Mm,
and
yeah.
So when we're open to hearing other stories and connecting and networking with other people and having that open conversation and resonating, then you start to learn more about yourself when you're hearing other stories. So it helps you to see the love that you have for yourself. And I can talk about the, like, big transition period,
yes,
event in my life that kind of caused this spiral.
I really do. I would love for that to come up right now because I'm just going to highlight this, what you had just said about all those actions that we can take. We may not know what it is, but once we start surrounding ourselves, listening to, podcasts or shows or reading books, we start recognizing what is really going on. And I'll tell you, when you do that, you can block. You start realizing when you do hear other things, what doesn't resonate with you as well, which is the story that we're going to come into and the power that we can give us. So I'm just going to give you that lead in because I love what this is about. So I'll let you take it away.
Yeah. And let me just start with creating a fascinations column. Like if you just write the word fascinations, underline it, and everything that makes you happy and everything that brings you joy, write it down, personal life, professional life, no matter what it is. So that every personal or business decision that you make from here on out needs to be in alignment with that fascinations column. And if it's not, you say no, learning to say no, right? So that's where I'm at now and really trying to pick up on the days that and the events that, you know, happen during my days that make me happy and bring me joy rather than sitting down and writing the list of things we don't like. Because that happens, that's easy for us to do. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to feel this way. But if we focus on all the negatives, then we kind of don't even remember that there's positives that we're aiming towards. So for me, when I finally backtracked to when I realized I had this passion, I decided in my head, my inner thought said, I'm quitting my job. I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm finally ready to tell the world. I'm finally ready for this thought to become words that come out of my mouth. I was on a family vacation and I was in a 14 passenger van on a family vacation. And I told everybody I will be quitting my corporate job and becoming a entrepreneur. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to take this leap. It's been a passion of mine forever. And there was one person in that car who with a split second said, you will fail. Dreams are dreams. They're just that. They don't come true. You'll never get married because you won't be able to support a family. This all just came like spewing out of her mouth to me. Like I just cried. That's the only thing I could do because it was like all this passion that I was finally ready to release. And it just came like, it was just thrown back in my face. So that was just the event. But for about a year after that, I was this extrovert who became very introverted. And in social situations, I'd walk into a room and imagine all the heads staring at me, thinking those thoughts that she said to me. So I was kind of, I was aligning my self-worth with society claims. I was aligning my self-worth with the words that she said to me that day. And I just assumed that I was getting those judgmental thoughts from the entire world. And it really, really like makes you feel like you are claustrophobic in, you know, in an enclosed elevator and like trying to escape. And that's kind of the place that I was in. So with every decision I made in my business during that year, it was based out of fear of failure. It was me choosing to run a business so that I could prove her wrong. But that's not the right reason to run a business. So that's kind of where my learnings began and how I started to cope with everything that had happened. And I went through like these, you know, therapeutic sessions and figuring out about self-worth and self-love and writing and journaling and how to handle my emotions, and everything kind of just has been coming together since that point.
You know, and I'm so glad that you were able to do that, that because, and I want to highlight that I love that you called it the event, right? And
yep.
Then we came to the end of that where you literally shared with us that yes, you had to go through therapy of sort to do these things. And I'd like to share it yep. because what I'm hearing is that that was a traumatic event. There was trauma. And often when I always think of the word trauma, I know there are just three ways that we can change the brain's way of thinking. Like we suddenly become have a different personality. And one of them is trauma. We are traumatized.
Yes.
And now we are just changed. And what you said, you suddenly became was an extrovert becoming an introvert. That's a complete personality mm-hmm. change. And the space to find yourself enough to say, I'm worth doing these therapy techniques, whatever they may be. I want to ask if you'd be really wonderfully, beautifully honest enough to share that during the time that year that you were making business decisions based on fear and proving her wrong, were you successful? Did you find success?
I found success, but it wasn't the caliber of success that I'm seeing now when my business, you know, since having my daughter. That was my like wake up moment where, you know, I'm building this business for myself, for my family, for her, so that she has this beautiful life to live and grow up in and all these things. And that's what it just clicked for me at that point, like stop being so selfish. Like you have a daughter and everything you do is for her. It's no longer for you. So I needed to have my daughter in order to realize that. And for somebody else, that could be completely different. They might need something else to realize it, but, or maybe they just need my story, right? So that's why I need to be open about what happened. So, you know, during that year, I was bottling up my emotions and I was embarrassed that, you know, I didn't want people to know why I wasn't going to social events and why I wasn't this like, extroverted person anymore. So I didn't tell anybody. It was this big secret that me and my husband, my husband and my family kind of knew about, but nobody else.
Right.
And I, therapy wasn't, in my mind, therapy wasn't something you went to unless you experienced a traumatic experience, like a mm-hmm. traumatic event, right? So I was even against therapy. I had to start by writing, start by journaling, and then we got an online therapist. And then I eventually got comfortable with therapy enough to go see somebody in person. And that's being open to receiving somebody else's view of your life so that you can help change that and align it more with your core values and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So big.
I love that you highlighted that, you know, a lot of time we'll think that we don't deserve, let's say, or our problem isn't big enough or that the trauma wasn't deep enough that we should take the time out of our lives and schedule an hour or half an hour to talk to someone because it wasn't, oh, get over it, you know, or this or that. And just I actually forgot this happened and that you just reminded me, and I'm so glad that I got over this too. I used to do a lot of TV and I had a new spot, and I have a very expressive face. Like my eyebrows have their own little like engine, I swear to God. And that's actually, I look like a cartoon. And so the very, you know, important person of the station came up to me after I'd done something and said, you've got to start looking in the mirror and look at what your face is doing, because if you've got to change it. It's too much. And I was so devastated.
No.
I felt ugly isn't a word. I felt like I was, just so wrong, right? That I stopped doing TV for years. I don't I don't want my picture. I don't want to be awesome. I don't want to be, because I was so paranoid thinking I was this weird, crazy face creature. And then I had to do work on that and to be comfortable again and just love myself. It's not that you have to get over it or don't care. Those mm-hmm. things, this matters. It's not about what they're saying to you, but they're bringing up things in you that perhaps you would question. You might have, you yourself at that time hearing that went, oh my God, I don't want to fail. And what if those are terrible things that you're saying. So if you put attention to those, then that's where your mind will go.
I also didn't think I would resonate with anybody. Like, I didn't think it was a story that needed to be shared. I thought it was an internal problem, internal battle. Aww. But as I grew my business and, these transitions happen and these boundaries were in place and I'd start feeling these breakthroughs in business, I realized that, these higher level entrepreneurs are experiencing the same personal problems that I've been going through, and I can actually help them by sharing my story. So it was a realization that I had that actually speaking and talking through these things wasn't just helping me, but it was helping others who are on my same path, Yeah.
And hearing that story, you actually have a special gift that you would like to share that you wanted. So because your book is not the What Self-Love Got to Do With It. Your book, as I mentioned, is The Empowered Journey of the, what is this? No, the Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss, correct? Yes.
And you have
a chapter in there, so you would, because like what you said, like your story may be helping people. So how did you want to do that? You would like to offer your chapter to people?
Yeah, so I have a downloadable copy of my chapter, which is called, ironically, Mindset Over the Middle Row. And I told you, give a little hint about that, because I was in a 14-passenger van when my event, or in the book I call it an encounter, when it happened. So I have a free chapter that you can download and read my chapter. It's not too long, but it's very interesting. And you can pull that right from my website, which is JennaCarelli.com, my first and last name.com. It's right there for you to download and read about the actual journey from extrovert to introvert to back to extrovert.
Yes. From the outside row to the middle row to the outside row.
Yes.
And thank you for sharing that, because all of these kinds of books, all the anthologies of stories, this is what I love so much, is it is about this changing thing. Now, you've actually, the business that you are running right now, you've actually grown it. How big is your business right now? Like, you have, when I go to your website, it talks so much about the team, like a team. It's not just you. You're not just running run a huge business. Can you tell us about your business?
Yeah, I have 12 employees. So I'm the face of the business, but the tech integrations, all the marketing genius is my team. So we have a project manager, online business manager. We've got everything, tech people, video editors, copywriters, graphic designers, web developers, you name it. Anything you need, it's like a business in a box. We've got myself for the business strategy and the mindset and really talking through these breakthroughs and boundaries in your business. And then the team implements it. At one point, I was a solopreneur. I was a one-man show here, and I would tell my clients exactly what they needed to do to see success, and they wouldn't do it because they didn't have the time to implement it themselves. They thought that they would fail if they implemented themselves, or they didn't know who to hire. So I got rid of that frustration, and I now have a full digital marketing agency to actually apply the strategies for my clients. So that's really, really, really great ever since that.
First of all, congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you.
That is, from somebody going through, oh my gosh, I've been through school. I've paid all this money to graduate, and I now have a job in this field that I'm supposed to do, and here we go, and I hate it. And then to think, okay, I'm going to be going in business and do what? Like, I just, the road, the path is so, oh my gosh, now that's inspiring. Now, I do, so you just said a couple things there. Some people think you said they either are afraid of failing, right? We have that one, or they just don't know who to hire. Okay, this is a rather interesting to me. So when I was writing, just some of the things, I thought, why wouldn't you know, why do we not stop and just do these things? The big thing is when you talk about hiring people, now this could even be hiring somebody to talk to you about therapy. It could be a thing. It's a trust issue. What if we,
yeah.
Like, did you have to just, I mean, I guess you did, but you have to just trust that you will hire the right person, or if it's not the right person, that you'll walk away, that it'll be okay. Like, because there's a breaking up issue too.
Yeah.
You've got to fire people. Sometimes people will hang on to employees because they just can't even break up or fire.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to fire fast. I mean, that's definitely something that you should always hold on to. Fire fast, yeah. But, you know, there's systems that we have in place to help our clients in the hiring process. And one of the things that's very often overlooked is just putting together a key role and responsibilities, a description for exactly what you're looking for. Like, this is what my business looks like today. This is the, you know, system I use for my website. This is what I use for scheduling calls. And make sure that when you get on the phone, you better be getting on the phone and interviewing for your hires. But make sure that when you do that, you have a list of skills that they need to have in order for you to hire them. And I always ask the question, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? And if they answer that question and the answer is something completely different from what you're hiring them for, do not hire them. Because you want somebody who's working in their own zone of genius. They're working on their fascinations within that fascination column and nobody else. So what I often see are people hiring for free, or hiring in exchange of services, or hiring somebody really, really cheap just because of the cheap price. And that is a big no-no in my opinion, because I've done that in the past. Again, I've learned lessons from all my mistakes, but it just doesn't end up very well when you do things that way. You probably end up doing more work.
Okay, now that is a great, so when we come back, we're going to scooch to commercial, but this is a huge one. I want to ask you about valuing our work and exchanging for services versus paying for them. Okay, when we come back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Alrighty, we're here, Light on Living with Lisa Berry. We have Jenna Corelli here with us. And just before we left, just started talking on hiring, firing, value, and all those things. Now, this has brought a big question up for myself to ask you, Jenna. It is about the exchange of service and
But it's more specifically about money. And why I want to bring this up is this theme is called, you know, it's titled Receiving. How important, can you talk about this role of actual money? And I mean money. I don't mean, you know, I'll do the service, you know, that. Like actual money. How important it is for us to have money in our hands, in our bank accounts, in our wallets, to encourage the flow, like the law of attraction of money.
Yeah. So one of my, I always preach validate an idea by getting people to say yes before actually spending time, energy, or money creating the product or service. So if you want to relate that to writing a book, maybe you can get some people to help sponsor your book or help you with the writing process or testimonials of people saying they want you to write a book before you write the book. If you want to talk about creating a course or a product, people can spend so much time creating courses and perfecting them. Yes. Before they actually launch them. But I like to launch the idea. So I'll talk about it and I'll even put up a little payment link to get people to buy something from me. Mm. And then I give them something to do within like a period of 30 days so that I can go create the product, you know? So it's like, here's your homework. And then it'll be dropped in your inbox in 30 days. And that's when I actually go create it. Then I'm more inspired to create it. I have money to create it and I'm excited and it's fun creating a product that somebody already purchased. And then you finish it, right? Because you don't want to have nothing to give them. So
okay.
You have to finish it.
This eliminates some procrastination and deadlines. Wow.
Yep.
And also it removes the doubt during creation.
Absolutely. And that's what holds most of us back.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm ready to
that's value. That's valuing your word. It all ties in because you're creating something and it's never the content that's the issue if no one's buying because they've never seen the content.
Right.
When they're not buying, it's the messaging on your website or it's the way that you're portraying whatever it is that you're selling. But if you if you don't know that your audience wants it and you're sitting there creating it, all you do is tell yourself that what you're creating isn't good enough and you're not good enough and you're not worth it. So it all ties in.
That really, really does. And, you know, oh, I love that. This is an amazing part. There are so many things that I actually remember being introduced to a business, a product or something years ago, 2 days ago, whatever. And because of the branding, because of the message, because of where I was in my life, I decided, no, that's not for me. No, that could just be that. But then as soon as they rebranded, re-messaged, something new came out, maybe took the content and went, you know what, people aren't responding. Okay, well, let's look for some other content. And now this content came out. And suddenly, like, oh, my God, the best thing on the earth, you know. And so that is so cool that you're saying that because how many people right now are listening and they're just, no, I got to get it perfect. I want it done before I get out there. Oh, and just one thing on this one. I have so many friends who are musicians, and they think they have to get the whole album done, you know, thousands of dollars later, and time, as you said. And then guess what? You sell 20 CDs.
Yeah, somebody might listen to the very first song on that album and buy the whole album before it's complete because they loved it so much. But we get hung up on, you know, finished products way too much. And it's funny because a lot of our clients who we kind of revamp their businesses, it's the same exact product when we relaunch it. It just looks different.
Oh my gosh.
It's the same thing that nobody bought and now they're buying because they're resonating. So it is, words are so, so important. And it brings us back to the word receiving too. If you are telling yourself that nobody wants your product, if you're telling yourself that your product is not good enough and nobody's going to buy it and I'm a failure, you are telling the universe that you do not want anybody to buy it. And so you're not open to receiving money for this product. You're not going to get money for this product. So when I tell my clients that's like a big, wow, like I'm actually blocking my own success by saying these things.
Yes, the language and the belief. I really strongly think that too. In the when somebody is, I'm trying to think, somebody's got an idea. They go, okay, I can do this. And we said, we already went through the process. Okay, write it out on paper, give it some life, maybe talk to some people that you feel safe with, start adding to it, look around maybe to some people that you can work with. When they're at, oh, maybe pre-sell or do it, you know, check it out, get the yes. Or what I love what you said, validate the idea by getting people to say yes. Loving that.
sorry. What if in the end, now this is a weird one, I'm just going to throw this out, it could be negative. What if in the end, it just does it, people don't say yes? Is that you don't give up?
So first, you don't give up. It's then you take another look at the process. So there's always a step that there's a disconnect somewhere in the funnel, right? Funnel is a businessy term, but there's a disconnect somewhere in the journey that this prospect or this lead is taking. And you got to find where that disconnect is. So it could be something as similar, as small as the delivery of the product. So you might be delivering the product as PDF downloads, and your audience actually enjoys live video, or your audience enjoys audio. And if you took all those PDF downloads and just read, like recorded yourself reading them and delivered it as an audio, maybe that's all you needed to do in order to get people to buy. So that's where finding out who your target, you know, there's a whole process of market research and finding out who your ideal client is and what your target market actually wants. A lot of us, when we start a business, we try and create the business based off of what we want to give our audience instead of really listening to what they need or what they think they need and giving that to them right away to lure them in, get to know you, and then you can teach them what they actually need or kind of, you know, take them on your own journey or your own path once they're in. So if there's always a disconnect somewhere and it's tweaking and tweaking and tweaking until you find that perfect recipe. And once you find it, you can duplicate it for a million other products, right? You've got it. You know your audience, you've got your recipe, and it's just recreating that over and over again.
I love that. I'm going to call it the recipe to receiving.
Yeah, perfect.
So when you first did this, your first business, did you automate and how to a spun
no.
Out? No. Okay, no.
No. No, I did not do that until I had my daughter. So I and my daughter was the reason I did that, because I was a new mom and I had a newborn and I had this business that I needed to run, and I was working myself to the ground prior to having her. But once she was born, I really didn't have more than 4 hours a week to dedicate to my business. I had very limited help with her, and I didn't know what to do. So I was almost forced, it's a blessing, I was forced to learn how to automate things. I had to figure out what systems I needed. I had to hire, you know, I had to hire people to work for me so that I didn't have to be doing all the work. And so I had no idea what automating was. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. And I taught myself enough to know how and who to hire. I think that's important, because you don't want to just hire somebody and you don't have a clue what they're doing for you. You want to have an idea of what's being done in your business. So learn enough to know what to ask for when you're looking to hire somebody, and then get rid of, delegate, you know, delegate it out or eliminate things that aren't necessary. I was working 4 hour work week. So like hardcore 4 hours a week I had to dedicate to my business in order to grow it to six figures. And then, you know, here and there, if she was sleeping on me, you know, if I was carrying her around and she happened to fall asleep, or if she took a nap at a random time in the middle of the day, I'd quickly get some work done. But it was really just 4 hours a week. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's even when you're just feeling moments, because sometimes you even think, I'm finally alone, I can do what I need to do. But then you're like, oh my God, I'm tired. And so,
yeah. And by the time you write down what you're going to do, and she wakes up before you get started. So
yeah.
Like, oh, man.
False start. Yeah. What would you say to somebody? And this will be myself and many people. I often come to the issue. So I'm going to take social media, for instance. I love doing my posts, and especially I love when I have time and I'm not rushing through them. So often I'll see a package, somebody's offering social media posts, but they're like, and you can set them up for the whole month. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what I want to say then in hours, let alone set something up for a month. So is there something, like, I'm probably thinking there's probably a certain recipe, as you were saying, for certain things that need to be automated and can be generated over and over, but then you save room for the personalized. So how does one, like, I would be afraid of losing my identity and losing my connection. So how do you work with people that are, teach them how, the difference of that, and is there a difference?
Yeah, so everybody's recipe will be different. There's always a hub. there's always one starting point for content. And so I like live video, and I don't plan my content for live video. I'm usually in the shower, and I get inspired to talk about something or share a story. And if you see me coming on live video, my hair is usually wet.
Your hair's always wet.
I'm so inspired. You know, I'm so inspired to talk about it, and I have no time to plan for it. So my hub, my content hub, is usually live video. And then my team, you know, I have a social media manager on my team who will take a 15-minute live video that I did and turn that into like 30 days worth of content on Instagram, on Facebook, and she just repurposes it. It could even go out to my email list. So that's my hub. You know, somebody else might love to write. So they just write one blog post a week, maybe, and their social media manager can take that blog post and you just cut it up into little chunks, like each paragraph or each couple sentences, and turn that into multiple social media posts that go out. So it's repurposing across all of your social media channels so that you're not always having to continue thinking of new content. And I always like to have a backlog too. So I might do 2 15-minute long videos, and then I only use one month. So something happens where I'm going on vacation, or I just can't show up, or don't feel like showing up, I'm sick, you know, I've got a backlog of content that they can pull from, so I don't need to show up.
You know, this is making so much sense, because you know what a lot of people will do, just what we were talking about before, about creating everything, making sure it's perfect, and then doing it. But what it is we so over-create. I don't, like, you know, it sounds like it should never be a bad word, but I know I've probably over-created my content, because now I'm actually overwhelmed thinking I have to sift through all this, and I don't even know where to start.
And if you are, your clients are, or your audience is.
Yeah. Perfect. You know, I used to do, oh my gosh, so many corporate seminars. I'd go to do a lunch and learn. Oh, it's only 1 hour. And I would try to pack in what I know in my entire life in that hour. And I know, I would be tired. They'd be exhausted, overwhelmed, and head spinning. And then I remember somebody said, 2 things. And then I often would remember listening to a show and thinking, yeah, if I walked away with 2 things, I was happy.
Yeah. If you, most of our clients, especially our clients are in the wellness industry. So they come to us with apps and all kinds of these like membership sites, just so full of content, full of information. Their website is like pages upon pages upon pages of words. And they're like, I need organization. I need systems. I need automation. And I'm so confused by everything that I've got going on. And that's exactly why they're not getting clients. Their audience is not resonating with them because they have too much stuff. And it's amazing stuff. It's valuable stuff. And it's stuff that people need to hear and get in front of. But they just don't know how to navigate it. And so they get lost. And in 5 seconds, you know, somebody clicks off of your website if they're lost. Maybe even less than 5 seconds. So it's important to catch them.
Well, you know what? This is such a perfect show, perfect topic, a perfect guest yourself to be talking about receiving. Because what I'm kind of actually hearing is that right now, anybody listening who feels, you know what, they recognize that they're not in the receiving mode, or that they want to be, or that there's a lack in receiving, it's probably because we need to make space for it. We need to stop doing so much, like stop and listen and really just tune in. So in this last, we've got 2 minutes, but I would love for you to invite people to come see what you do, what you offer, and your story. So if you want to leave those directions for people and how they can do that with you.
Yes. So my hub is my website, guys. So you can just go to jennacarelli.com, my first and last name.com. And right on the homepage, you can download the free chapter from my book. You can join my Facebook community. You can start a conversation with me. We can message each other, or you can schedule a phone call. It's completely up to you, depending on how you like to chat and get to know each other. I'm really big on connecting and networking. I form partnerships a lot, and I want to help you just as much as you need help, maybe. So if we can connect in any way, shape, or form, I would absolutely love to hear more about you and your story. It's my favorite thing to do, honestly.
And it's actually neat because you're originally from Philadelphia, but you are in Florida.
Yeah.
And, but you have quite a few Canadian clients. So I'm in Toronto.
Oh, my gosh,
So you are
Canadians. You guys rock.
Well, it's funny because Own Times Radio is actually in Philadelphia. Yes. It's all over the world. We can connect with anybody at all times. And so in just this final minute, first of all, I do want to say thank you. I mean, I want to sit and talk to you. I'm going to book an appointment. I want to sit and talk to you forever. And I'm just really proud of you and happy for you that you took those steps. And I love that you're inspiring others to do that as well.
Thank you. It's definitely, it's always a process. It's always a journey. So we just, you know, wake up every day and try and be a better version of ourselves. So don't think that I've made it, but definitely these conversations help so much. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. So everybody, thank you for listening as we continue in this month of self-love. If you want to post a comment, a like, or share about the show, then certainly you are in the draw to win What Self-Love Got to Do with It. But don't forget, you can also grab that chapter at Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, Corelli, and I will post that on my thing as well. So thank you, everybody. We're back tomorrow again, with Heather Andrews, the publisher. So everybody, we'll talk to you then.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
Yay!
Thank you, Jenna. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.